Hello, my name is Jeff Parrish. I'm the senior pastor here at Indian Rocks, and I just want to say thank you to you for tuning in today through our live streaming through the internet for our services, and we are glad that you are watching. And I'm going to tell you about a couple of things that we have here at the church. We are very much a purpose-driven church. Why do we exist? The reason we exist is to make disciples, as the scriptures teach us. But we have a thing that's called C4, which lists out the different things that we want to do. C1 is connecting with God, which is part of what the reason that we do this live streaming is to give people the opportunity to find out what the scripture says and what it means to have a relationship with God. It's pretty incredible to think about the relationship, having a relationship with the God who created you. But the second purpose is a place for people to connect with each other. And I can't tell you how important that is, because it's more than just being educated in the scriptures. It's finding a place that you fit, that you connect. We have a lot of small groups and all kinds of different shapes and sizes that reach out to different ages and different stages of life. Now, I'd really encourage you to check into plugging into a small group, because you'll never feel apart until you find a place to fit in. So anyway, thank you for watching today, and I hope to see you soon. All right, yes, be seated. And we changed a couple of things midstream just because I wanted to share with you a little bit about, so the ushers will be taking the offering now, and then our everybody back here will be coming around back in. And so if you understand, but we changed a couple of things midstream because I wanted just to share with you about the political stuff coming up and all the important things that all of us need to be a part of. You know, I tell you what though, in a time in which we live, it's going to be all that more important to be a light and understanding what that means. We've been talking about that now over the last few weeks, and I'm looking forward to share with you today. Again, Matthew chapter 8 is where we're going to be. And guys, this series that we've called Light, just in case some of you haven't been here, let me just kind of give you a little bit of a recap with where we have been and understanding the whole concept of light. Jesus taught and used many different comparisons, metaphors, I like to call them. Similes, if you use like or as, right? For all of you English teachers. And so he used comparisons for people to be able to understand. And when he'd talk about who he is and what he'd come to do. Remember the first week during this series, we talked about the prodigal son. That which was lost is now found. That which is dead is now alive. That which is walking in darkness has seen the light. And living in the light. So in this thought, Jesus is the light of the world, right? And in fact, that's been the main mantra of Christmas time that most everybody has. Still, it's incredible how they don't understand. You know, ask anybody, maybe 1 out of 10, why do y'all put lights up at Christmas? They couldn't tell you. But originally and down for the last 2,000 years, they even hung candles on trees. That had to have been dangerous. All right, a dead tree with a candle on it. But the reason they would do it is because Jesus is the light of the world. But what does that mean? Because Jesus said about himself, he said, I am the light of the world. But then he also looked at all of you guys, if you are a believer today, and he said, you are the light of the world. That's why we've come to this series called Light, because it's who we're supposed to be. But it's not us, it's his light through us. And I have found that somebody who is a believer in Christ, someone who truly is his, you already are the light. That's why he said, the main thing is just don't hide who you are. That's why he said, city set on a hill, people don't light a lamp, put it under a bucket. But here's the thought. You already are the light. And so here comes this great piece, this great thought for you to understand and for us to understand, is that when you are being who you're supposed to be, this is who we're supposed to be as a people group. You know, growing up where I grew up and a lot of times in a lot of places, People kind of have excused themselves of the responsibility of being light because that's the pastor's job. That's not the way it is here. I mean, but that's the pastor's job, right? Pastor, we pay you to be the light, right? And they never see that that's who they are. And so anyway, so this kind of puts it all together, I think, for an incredible thought as we've looked through the weeks now of what it means for you and I to be the light, because he is the light, but his light is through us. And it says in 1 John, it says is that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. But remember this, if you have no desire to be the light in this world, then it makes me wonder if you truly are in the light yourself. Pastor, how can you say that? Well, it says in 1 John, it says, if we say we walk in the light and yet walk in darkness, we're lying. So I want you to understand is that if you are a believer in Christ, you are the light. You don't have to try to be, you are. And there should be a desire inside of us to be that to those around us. I tell you what, there's no greater impact that any of us can have than being the light wherever it is that God has put you. For some of you, that's two or three people. You know, maybe a next door neighbor, maybe somebody you've met at the, you know, at a coffee shop or whatever. But for some of you, it's a larger group because you're much more open and outgoing. Again, we're just called to be the light wherever it is that God has us. And that's become the concept of what we talked about. Isn't it? Last week, we entitled the message, Friends. Friends. And we talked about the four friends of the paralyzed man, that they carried his stretcher, litter, or whatever you want to call it, for probably miles and miles and miles just to get him to Jesus, because Jesus is the answer to this paralyzed man's problems. And they knew they couldn't do anything about it, but they could get him to Jesus. So they became, if you will, the reason their friend got to Jesus. We talked about that last week. Remember, they got and all the people were in the way. They dug out a hole and they lowered the guy, and Jesus was in the house. And so you have then this picture that we talked about last week. This one's going to be a similar one. Okay? This picture's going to be a similar one. I've called this one Others. As opposed to Friends last week, this one's Others. Next week, remember, we're all going to be in one service. Charlie's going to be here. This is obviously his wheelhouse. And I've asked him to speak on this subject too. He's going to. And then I'm going to share one more time. Okay? I'm going to share one more time. And you've been praying for people. I've had you to be praying for people, four or five people in your life that don't know, that you know are lost. We talked about that on the Prodigal Son week. And you've been praying for it. If you've been following along with us, you've been praying for them most every day, okay? But here's the thought. You're going to see it today, how this enters in and why I've been asking you to do that. You're going to see a lot come into focus today. I just don't want you to miss it today. So let's jump into the story, okay? Let's jump into this event that happened in Jesus' life. All right, number one is what I'm going to call is, I'm going to call it a servant's illness, okay? A servant's illness. You can call it malady like we called last week. Again, we don't know if it was caused by an accident or if it was an actual disease. But either way, the symbolism is the same. Let's take a look in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. Okay, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5, it says this. When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him. And we'll talk about this in the next point. But appealing to him, if you want to underline that, that's an important phrase. In other words, making a request, an urgent request. Okay? He says, Lord, a servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. Now, I want you to understand this servant of this centurion, talk a little bit more about him in a minute also, but he was ill. And if we, you know these four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they basically tell the same story, the story of Christ. Well, the parallel passage is found in Luke chapter 7, verse 2. And it tells us a little bit more. Take a look what it says. It says there, it says, now a centurion had a servant who was sick and was at the point of death. Okay, this is interesting. So this guy, this servant, he was so sick Paralysis was part of it, but it was terminal, right? It was terminal. And so the symbolism here, and again, it brings us into focus like it did last week. You have to remember that Jesus did these things. For those of you who have ears to hear, and that's the reason Jesus would use that phrase. He uses these things for you to understand, because we understand the physical world in which we live. It makes sense. You know, we see it. Our senses can understand it. But the parallel is to the spiritual part. We talked about it last week when Jesus asked the question, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and take your bed and walk? In other words, he's asking, which do you think is easier to say? Be healed of your paralysis, or be healed, or if you will, forgiven of your sins? For us, most of it would say, oh, no, it's much harder to heal someone of their paralysis, but it's not so. Because in order for forgiveness of sins to happen, Jesus had to be who he was and do what he did at the cross. So what he's saying is, it's harder to say your sins are forgiven. Therefore, the comparison between the paralysis or the disease and the need for forgiveness, the physical, the spiritual, becomes this parallel. It's the same in this story. You have this, it's paralysis, but it's to the point of death, which is a picture of sin, because the wages of sin is. So you have the sin and its consequences portrayed of what is happening in the servant's life. He's sick and to the point of physical death. Just like all of us are sick, if you will, sinful. It's all in us, the scripture teaches. And the wages of it is going to be death. So again, you have this parallel of something that's happening. Jesus would do these miracles, but he just didn't do the miracles for a show. They always had symbolism, and they always had a point to be able to speak to those who really want to know the truth and understand it. If you want to know, it's there. If you want to see the parallel, it's there. So which brings us then? We have, first of all, we have this illness of the servant. Number two, we have a soldier's request. A soldier's request. Take a look at verse 5 again in chapter 8 of Matthew. It says, when he entered Capernaum, that is Jesus, a centurion came forward to him. Now, we found out last week that Jesus had moved to Capernaum and was living there. It was a town, it was a fishing town of about 1,000 people. It wasn't large. But it was important. Because several miles to the north was a major road that the Romans had built. Roman roads, right? That was what made them such a great empire. They built basically highways for their time, connecting all the major points and parts of their empire. And so there was a road. And whenever you had a major road, you had a lot of traffic. Wherever you had a lot of traffic, you needed monitoring and you needed policing. Well, the centurion was there, was stationed at Capernaum, more than likely, to guard and to keep safe the road, okay? And they probably patrolled the road. Now, a centurion, I want you to think about a centurion. A centurion was a soldier in the Roman army, Roman legions. And remember that a centurion was kind of like our equivalent to our modern-day captain. It was a middle rank. And anyway, a centurion was one who was in charge of 100 men, 100 soldiers who were underneath him. Therefore, you get the word century, right? Centurion. And so, again, he was an officer. So he was stationed there. Now, there was something interesting about him. He was well-liked, which was very rare for the Jewish people of that time to like a Roman soldier who was occupying. But he was, it's found in the parallel passage in Luke, the centurion was kind. And he helped them build their synagogue, probably providing some money, but also labor, you know, let his soldiers help them. And they liked this guy. And we're going to find out he was understanding who Jesus was and his faith and trust in who Christ is and was. So it's pretty interesting to see. But here is their request that this Roman soldier made of Jesus. He says, Lord, which is interesting. He would have gotten in quite a bit of trouble if he was heard by his Roman counterparts or superiors of calling a Jewish peasant prophet Lord. But you're going to find out that this centurion knew who Jesus was. Now, he really knew who Jesus was. What so many people of that time didn't know, and what still I think most people today don't know about who Christ is. But he comes to him and says, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home. He's suffering terribly. So he came to Jesus with the request. Okay? He came to Jesus with a request. Now, I just want you to think about it for a second. Just for simple understanding. Right? What's another name for coming to Jesus with a request? Prayer. Exactly. So that's what this is. Now, again, it's a little easier because Jesus is actually there. Physical form, right? But it's the same concept. Where do you put your faith and trust when you have great needs that go beyond your ability to do anything about? Got it? So you have this picture then of him coming to Jesus with the request. Guys, it is why I have asked you 2-3 months ago to start praying for people in your life, to bring them to Christ, right? Bring their name to who the Lord is. Come to him with the request, Lord, I've got a friend. Lord, I've got a brother. Lord, I've got a sister. Lord, I've got a parent. Lord, I've got a child, a daughter, a son. I've got a coworker. I've got, and just tell them, Lord, they're lost. They need you, right? They're so blind that God, they need you to open their eyes. They're walking in darkness. God, they need you. They need to see your light. I have found, I don't know exactly how it works, but I just know that it works. Because here is the picture in this particular case. When you understand the symbolism of the physical to the spiritual, you understand the request that he's making of Jesus for the physical is another picture of a request for the spiritual, as we talked about last week, which you'll see a little bit later in this passage. It's an incredible thing. I believe with all of my heart that the greatest thing you can do for people in your life who don't know who the Lord is to pray for them. I really do. I believe the scriptures teach it. And I believe some of us think that sometimes that we don't want to be a light because we're afraid somebody may ask a question that we can't answer, right? But that, I wouldn't worry at all about that. Why? Because it's not you that's changing anyone's life. It's him and it's his light, right? We've just been called to be it, right? Therefore, it's him that does it. Therefore, after this servant, because this servant, if you know the story, is healed of his malady. But I'm here to tell you, the centurion didn't take credit for it, did he? No, all he did was make the request. Jesus is the one that did it. Does that make sense? Are you following me? Shake your head if you're following me, right? Okay, if you're not shaking your head, go back to sleep. So here's this great picture, all right? Here's this tremendous picture of a request from a centurion, a soldier, okay? Usually hated, but a man who really, if you're going to learn something incredible about. Okay, so again, understanding number one, you'll see the servant's illness and symbolism with it. Number two, you'll see a soldier's request. And number three, you've got Jesus' answer. Now, this was a rare answer that Jesus gave. Usually there were questions around it. There were points that Jesus would make to help everybody learn and to teach them. But when Jesus looked at the situation, basically look at his response. Well, let's let him say it. And he said to him, that is Jesus said to the centurion, okay, let's go. I will come and I will heal him. Okay? So he looks at him and says, I will. Again, I don't know all how it works. In fact, the next time when I finish this little series, the next time I share with you, I'm going to talk about perseverance. Because there's another story, parable, that talks about this same concept. Because sometimes people say, well, Jeff, I've prayed for people for years. And it hasn't happened yet. Well, there's something about perseverance we're going to talk about the next time we get together. Charlie will be here next week. But the next time we get together in 2 weeks, I'm going to share with you about that and so we can understand that. But I want you to understand that you've been praying for these people. Personally, I've asked you to because I knew where we were going when I'd be teaching you through the weeks. Because guys, the last Sunday of November and then the three Sundays in December, I'm going to be sharing messages, simple messages. And they're just messages about who Jesus is, what he came to do. They're gospel messages. They're going to be relatively short. We're going to have lots of illustrations. But the one thing I do want you to understand is they're going to be clear. Therefore, the people you've been praying for, This would be a great opportunity for you just to invite them. This Christmas musical we're doing, or Christmas Eve service, we're just going to take the opportunity just to share simply what it means. Not what denominations say, not what other churches say. What does the scripture say? What does the Christmas story say? In fact, the series, I'm just going to call it Simply Christmas, because we're going to keep it so simple that I promise you, anybody that you bring during that time, they will hear the message of the gospel. Now, whether their eyes are opened enough to see it and to understand it, whether they want to understand it, I don't know about that. But the one thing you do is you've been the light, okay? You've been the light by that. So we're going to be doing this. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about this whole thought of what we've been doing and the purpose and the point behind it. But remember, it's who he's called us to be as a church. So Jesus' answer was, I will. I will go. And then number four is I'm going to call a soldier's faith. Now this one is fascinating. I want to take just a few minutes just to kind of walk you through how this played out. Because there's something here that's extremely unexpected. And it's easy to miss as you're reading through it. It says, but the centurion replied. He said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come underneath my roof. But if you just say the word, okay, my servant will be healed. And then he explains that statement, which was a rare statement. Because a Roman soldier telling a peasant prophet that he's not worthy for him to come into his house would not have been something he would have said unless he knew who Jesus was. And this is what he said. He says, for I too, this is what the soldier said, I too am a man under authority. And I've got soldiers who are underneath me. So he says, I know how this works. I know that there are soldiers underneath me. And look at the next part. He says, I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to one, come, and he comes. And and goes on to say, basically he says, listen, do this. I tell a servant, do this, and he has to do it. Okay? And I want you to see something here that Jesus said when he heard this. He said, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly, I have not found anyone in all of Israel who has the faith that this man does. Now, that's a powerful statement. But the second thing here that jumps off the page to me is that Jesus marveled. The word marveled means amazed. How in the world do you amaze Jesus? I don't know, but he did. But it was something he said, and I think it's pretty cool because there's only a couple of sentences there for us to look like. It's not like there's 20 pages for us to go through. There's only a couple of sentences. So if you're a believer here today, then your ears should perk up because you want to know if Jesus compliments this soldier on such incredible faith, then it's something we can learn from. So let's just take a look at them. Now, first thing you need to understand is that this man was a soldier. Hey, this man was a soldier. There's something about being a soldier. Let me just ask the question. How many of you in the room, okay? How many of you in the room have ever been or are currently in the military? Can I see your hands? Okay, raise them up high. All right, good deal. Take a look around you. All right, because these people with their hands raised will understand this passage better than the rest of you. I'm serious. Because you have to have been there to understand what this guy was saying. But it'll come clear to you, right? Any of you in here of a military family, grew up in a military family? All right, so you're gonna see it too. I just want you to see it, and all of us are gonna see it, but that's the concept that is being made here. So this guy learned something. First of all, he had to have known who Jesus was to have paid him the respect and to have been like he was. He understood the concept of authority, okay? In fact, I've almost gotten to the point that I think every child in our culture ought to be in the military for a short time. I know it's terrible to say. It's not terrible to say. But let me tell you why. Because they're not learning authority. They're not learning what it means for someone to be in charge over them. And that's why our teachers have such a, God bless you if you're a teacher today, all right? God bless you. I pray for you. Because there's a struggle that's going on, right? And the struggle is authority. But see, the great thing about those who are in the military, they learn this, okay? They learn this concept of authority. That is someone being in charge. And that when they give you an order, okay, you don't look at them and say, I don't know if I agree with that. See, you know, if you've been in that authority situation or have been underneath the authority, even if you disagree, it's not up to you. Your responsibility is to obey that order because it's from a superior officer. If you know who Jesus is, he is the ultimate superior officer. So this guy understood who Jesus was, right? So there was no struggle here for him. No struggle whatsoever. So he not only knew who Jesus was, he knew what he could do because of who he was. This is what I'm going to be sharing at the Christmas time. Because so much about Christmas is who Jesus is. And once you understand who Jesus is, what he came to do makes perfect sense. But what he came to do makes no sense if you don't know who he was. But this guy knew who he was. He got it. So that's why he could say, hey, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. In fact, I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house. In fact, it would make me real nervous if you came to my house because I know who you are. Let me give you a for instance. Before I came to you guys, I was over in South Tampa, and we had a church that was only a few miles from MacDill Air Force Base. And we had a lot of soldiers, but since Central Command was there, we had a lot of officers, a lot of high-ranking officers that would come in and out of our church, you know, and they would come for a couple of years, they'd be gone, a new batch would come in. It was really interesting. And especially before 9/11, I could go out and spend time with them. I learned a whole lot. But I remember I was at a dinner with the pastor. We have it here. And I was sitting with a group of people, and we sat down and had everybody go around the table, and I asked everybody to introduce themselves. And so everybody introduced themselves, and there was this guy sitting next to me, and an older guy. And he said, my name is, I'm not going to tell you his name, but he says, I'm in the Army. And so we went around, whatever. And after the dinner was over, everybody left, and I had another soldier who was obvious. He was a younger guy. I can't remember if he was like a private or a corporal or if he was a lieutenant, but he was a young guy. And he came up to me. He says, Pastor, do you know who was sitting with you at the table? And I said, who? And he told me his name. And he said, his name is General so-and-so, so-and-so. He says, Pastor, he's a four-star general. And he said, he's in charge of all special forces worldwide. And he says, that office at MacDill, that is a central hub for a whole lot of things. And I mean, he was just, and I looked back at him and I said, wow. But I wasn't near as impressed as he was. Because that was his commanding officer. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you've ever been in the military, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, that guy comes walking in the room, you almost want to throw up. Do you know what I'm saying? You have to be in the military to know what I'm talking about. That's why you're going to understand this concept. You're going to understand why this guy said, no, Jesus, I don't want you. I don't want you at my house. Because I know who you are. Right? I know who you are, and because of who you are, I know what you can do. Interesting, huh? So this little story may really ring true to you to understand. Do we truly trust who Christ is? Do you look at God's word and decide whether you want to obey it or not, or do you look at it as, I'm going to obey because he's in charge, whether I understand it or not? See, military people get this. If you've been trained, you can make, that doesn't mean the rest of us can't get it. But you who are in the military have a physical understanding of what he's saying here. The rest of us can live just the same obedience, just the same understanding who Jesus is, and that after I understand who he is, I don't really get a vote. All right? So anyway, he looks at him. And he goes on to talk about authority. You know, I tell this one to go, and I'm underneath authority. If they tell me, I don't question it. I just do it. And Jesus was amazed at that, wasn't he? He was absolutely amazed and said, I haven't found faith like this in all of Israel. And that's saying a lot. So trust. Lord, I've got something I want you to do for a friend of mine, for a relative of mine, for an employee of mine. Lord, only you can do it. I can't do it. I cannot do it. You are the answer. I'm not the answer. But God, you've called me to do these things. So he comes to him and he asks him those things. And I just find that, I found that remarkable when you parallel it to what it means to be the light, when you parallel it to what we've been doing, when you understand this. So he goes on, and he goes on to talk about, and he shares with you the difference. Look at verse 11. I tell you, many will come east and west at the table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, basically, he goes on to talk about those who are going to be thrown into darkness, those who will be welcomed in the light. And basically, it comes down to the point of faith and trust in who Christ is. So he makes the physical and the spiritual application like he did last week. There's a lot more to say there. There's just not going to be enough time to explain it all to you. But I just want you to understand then this simple thought of what this looks like with this soldier's request. Because after Jesus had this answer, and the guy looked at him and said, listen, you don't have to come to my house. Because that's where most people are. You see, what most people wanted was that they wanted Jesus to come by. And, you know, and when he walked in the room, you know, they wanted the blue and white robe like he's dressed in every movie, right? The blue and white robe. And they wanted him to walk in with the robes flowing, right? A couple of lightning bolts would be nice, right? And then when he talked, it needed to be one of those booming, you know, he lays his hands on it, the guy's heel, you know. All right, now listen to me. So what everybody wanted was a show, right? But the soldier didn't care about the show. He cared about his servant. In fact, Jesus, how many times did he say it when they would come to him? Show us a sign, show us a sign, show us a sign. He says, I'm not going to. But the one who didn't even care about a sign, but only cared about his servant, he was healed. Interesting, huh? And guys, how much more today do we still have whole hosts of believers who are only looking for the show? And they go to the church with the best show. Is it who he's called us to be? It is not. What has he called us to be? He's called us to be the light. Interesting, huh? And yet we live in an entire culture where it's all about the show. It's all about the show. It was the same way at Jesus' time. So Jesus, I believe, was amazed at this guy because his faith was so sincere and so right on. He was amazed it wasn't somebody from Israel, but a Gentile Roman soldier. Interesting. Again, so much here for you to learn. I think I could do a whole series just on this story because there's so much in it. The concept here is light. Light and darkness, and the request of who Jesus is being the light. Now, number five is the impact. Well, the impact is pretty straightforward in verse 13. Jesus, being amazed, he looks back at him and says, well, you can go. You know, it's done. Just as you believed it would be, because you knew who I was and you knew what I could do, and you put your faith and trust in me. And then when he went home, he found that he was healed at that very moment. Now, that's a powerful thing when you think about it. And I want you to remember that I don't think the centurion looked at his servant and said, okay, you need to thank me, because if it hadn't been for me, you'd been in trouble. No. Why? Because the soldier didn't do anything. But he did go and ask the one who could do something. That's why there is no room for arrogance or pride among the believers. Do you really think you had anything to do other than just being the messenger, right? But he wants us to be a part so that we can know how he works and that he works. It's just incredible. A couple of things for you to take with you, right? And then we'll be done. Number one, things to learn, by the way. These are things to take with you. I've already talked to you about this, but number one is the picture of sin and its consequences. So it's all there, right there at the beginning where it talks about this, that he was obviously sick to the point of death. And therefore, the picture there obviously is sin and its consequences, which is the wages of sin. Number two is the answer lies in Christ. Now, the answer does not lie in us, and it doesn't lie in how much you may know or how well you argue or how well you may present or what a great voice you have or any of those things. It's basically him at work, right? Number three, this is just amazing to me, this part. I've told you before, I don't quite know how it works. I just know that it works, is that you can intercede on behalf of others. So this guy came to Jesus, not for himself, but on behalf of another, which is what I've been asking you to do over the last few months. I'm going to ask you to continue for the next few weeks. Not that after we're done with the series, you don't have to pray anymore. That's not what I'm saying. I just want you to see it, right? I don't know. Interceding on another's behalf is an amazing concept to me. That, and I don't know how this works, but it begs the question to be asked. Last week, the man who was paralyzed, where would he have been without the four friends who took him to Jesus? Where would this guy have been, this servant have been, if it hadn't been for the soldier coming to Jesus on his behalf? And I don't know that I have the answer. Because God can do anything he wants to. But we do have a part. That is incredible to me. If we really knew, and here's a better way of saying it. If we really believed that Jesus was who he says he was, would we probably take a whole lot more to him? Just something for you to think about as you walk out. Right? If we really believe, like this guy did, if we really believe this guy is in charge, I mean, he's in charge. If we really believed it, how much more would we take to him? Just an interesting thing to think about. Number four. Again, I don't know how this works. I just know that it works. Our faith can actually have an impact on another's salvation. Now, we don't save them. Again, the soldier had very little to do in actually healing this man from his sickness. But he did have something to do with it. Because that's the point of the whole story, the whole part here of what Jesus did. I don't know, just is something for you to think about. Something for you to think about. Number five, healing was complete. It's absolutely complete. It says he was healed from that time on. And the parallel is what we talked about last week, and this is where I'll close. The parallel is fairly simple. The parallel is the physical to the spiritual, the physical malady and the physical healing, the paralysis and the rise up and take your bed and walk, the sinfulness and its consequences in death, and the forgiveness of sins. When you put the two together and understand what Jesus is talking about, Jesus has come to make that clear. So those of us who have put our faith and trust in him, who obviously his lives have been changed, who now are the light of the world, when Jesus said, "We're the light, you are the light of the world," therefore it becomes a responsibility he has entrusted to us to go, you therefore, and share that light with others, right? Now, don't try to be the light. As I've told you before, just be it. Because you don't have to try to be something that you already are, right? Therefore, if we walk in the light and see as in the light, we have fellowship with one another, right? And the incredible impact that makes. So as I close, number one, keep praying. Keep praying for those people in your life. Number two, be thinking about over the holiday time. The reason we've chosen the holiday time, because it is the absolute easiest time of the year to invite people. And then they'll say yes. It really is. Christmas is just a different time. It always has been, always will be. Okay? So wanted to give you that opportunity. So be praying. And maybe be like these four friends and say, hey, why don't you come with me to the Christmas music? Why don't you come with me to this Sunday? Because I promise you this, is that The gospel will be shared. Who Jesus is, what he came to do, will be clear. We'll have lots of illustrations to make sure it is very simple. But I'm excited about that. Who knows what the Lord might do? I think who knows what the Lord is going to do, because we're going to trust him, not ourselves. This is incredible. I'm looking forward to it. As I close, I understand this thought. If there's never been a time in your life, guys, this is why you'll hear me say this is not a Baptist thing, Methodist thing, Catholic thing, Presbyterian, or any other I may have not have mentioned. This is his message to you. No church owns this message. That's why I say things like that, because who Jesus is and what he came to do is a truth, not an opinion. And in its simplicity, it is his light to this world that desperately needs to know him. This is the answer to our country's struggles, okay? And this is what I've talked about. So if there's never been that time in your life, you'd like to know what it means to put your faith and trust in him, there'd be some pastors down here afterwards who would love to talk to you about what that means. But also, there's some booklets out in the hall that are called Got Questions. Has a few pages, but it has a CD of a message that I did that explains what the gospel is, like I'm going to at the Christmas time. So anyway, looking for, you can grab one, no cost to you, you're on your way out. I've even had some of you say, hey, listen, I picked up some of those to hand to friends. Again, that's just being light, right? That's just more of what that means. So it's exciting, looking forward to it. And so don't miss out next week. I know you won't, but Pastor Charlie's here, and make sure that, because he would love to see a whole bunch of it when we kick next week off. All right, God bless you. Let's all stand.